Welcome to the show, it's the best podcast that we know. We are glad to have you here, let our voices massage your ears. It's free and it's online, it's an hour of your time. So welcome to the Brother Stream Show. Welcome to the Brother Stream Show.
Hello!
Hello!
Hi!
I'm Simon Streep.
I'm Del Streep.
I am Andrew.
And welcome to yet another episode of the Brother Streep Show.
Hooray! What can people expect on this show?
Well, we've got a little round of what I like to call the Brother Streep Save the World.
Sounds good.
That's exciting. And,
in that we actually save the world, which will be quite fun.
Flip.
Well, I mean, that's a big promise to make.
I know. Andrew.
Yeah?
What's your quiz about?
I'm not telling you.
I want to know now so I can start thinking.
Start Googling.
That would be telling.
So we're going to have the famous quiz at the end of the night. That's going to be good. I went to the casino the other day.
Oh, hello.
Yeah, what do you guys think of the casino? Do you like the casino?
I do quite like some parts of the casino, like the ice rink.
Yeah. That's well, I went there and lost a bunch of money on the machines.
Oh,
but
no.
It was the arcade, so it's fine. I had lots of fun.
Did you get... The arcade is famous for spitting out those little tickets that you can then get like 500 tickets and swap them for, I don't know, like a gumball.
It's a good question. What is the most tickets that you have ever won?
Ooh. Nowhere near enough for the prizes kind of on the back shelf. I've always got stuff from the drawers in the front.
My problem is that I always walk past that machine where they have all the coins.
Oh no, the tipping point.
Yeah, yeah, and then you like put a coin in and then it potentially pushes the other coins out and you win more coins. And I kind of find that quite fun. So I end up spending a lot of my money.
But they've got a claw machine there.
Oh, but the claw machines at these sorts of places are never good claw machines.
Yeah.
The claw is always very weak.
There's no such thing as a good claw machine.
Oh, Andrew, if you ever go on the garden route, as they call it, you should look at the claw machines there.
Yeah, okay,
I'll check them out.
They're just a more honest claw machine.
Yeah. Casinos tend to have the limp-wristed claw machine, the kind of one where it's like someone that doesn't want to get involved in picking up the objects in the bottom of the way.
They don't know where they've been.
Like, yeah.
No, I don't want
to. I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do it. Time's up.
If anyone heard the beginning of this little talk and thought, sweet, we're going to get a guide to casino kind of living and etiquette, they're wrong. It's all about the arcade and claw machines and stuff.
What did you play at the arcade?
Well, I feel like I did used to play the games that spewed out the tickets and then you won the prizes. Mm-hmm. And then at a certain point in my life, I realized that the other games are more fun, even though they don't end up coming with tickets.
Okay.
Like shooting games and car racing games.
Like Metal Slug.
Metal Slug's the best.
Yeah.
I absolutely love Metal Slug.
Yeah.
Because it's so unrealistic how big those guns get. these tiny dudes carrying around these massive guns. But I played half tickets, half kind of not tickets.
Did you Dance Dance Revolution?
I didn't, but I did try it a couple of casinos ago. And it was so bad. I wanted to impress my lady.
Yeah.
And so we put it on. We danced together, you know, side by side.
Okay.
And I put it on to, like, I guess medium or something.
Oh, rookie era.
Yeah.
Wow.
And it was so tough. It was like the arrows were just flying past your face. You couldn't hear. It was like deep, dark techno. And everyone gathers around too. Fortunately, neither of us, you know, I didn't like look over and she was like in a whirlwind of like
dancing. High school.
We just looked at each other like, oh, that was a waste of a couple tokens. Let's try an easier one.
I quite like those zombie ones where you shoot the gun at the zombies. Did you do any of that?
Love it. There's actually a really cool pirate ship one.
Ooh. I like me a good pirate ship.
Yeah, where it's also guns based, but the kind of concept is you're on a pirate ship that's going down a river and stuff.
A river?
Yeah, it was. It was like
something's gone very wrong.
Grand Canyon.
To be going down a river, you need to have been on a mountain.
Yeah, so I think you start on a mountain.
Wow.
And you fall off.
As a pirate ship.
Yeah, there's a guy in a barrel that floats around near you.
Did you not know that Noah's Ark, once it had rest upon Mount Sinai, turned into a pirate ship?
It was taken over by Somali pirates.
No, but the cool like USB for this thing is it's got a...
The USB?
Yeah, you can just plug in your own games and they come up on the screen.
It is a unique selling point.
It's got a steering wheel in the middle.
All right.
So you've got your guns and occasionally it's like, okay, now quickly dodge this boulder.
Jeez,
and then you have to turn the steering wheel.
I mean,
so it like combines all the coolest games.
That's pretty hectic though, because, you know, you want to kind of have your wheel, your hands on the wheel at the best of times when you're driving, to now have to try wield a gun. It's not going to
wield
gonna
be a very gun. And they should call it that.
Yeah. And they, you know, do they have a microphone so that you can shout, land ho?
No, but I did shout it anyway.
Did you? Okay, good.
The problem with the tickets, though, is that we played a couple of games that you won tickets just because it's like, you know, whack-a-mole is quite fun. You can't hit real animals. Why not hit little plastic ones? That sounds terrible. And other games like that. So you get the tickets. And then I obviously don't, you know, I don't have enough tickets for anything worthwhile. And I don't want to hang on to the tickets and take them home.
No.
So I thought better yet, give them to a kid.
No, sell.
Really nice charitable act. And there was these like three kids in the line, like looking at presents, like really crap ones too, like, you know, a plastic ring or an eraser and pencil set or whatever. Yeah. And I thought, here you go. Why don't you have these? And like, I said to the dad, would you like these tickets? And he was like, no. So I was like really embarrassed because I thought I was being like really cool and altruistic. And
he knew how you got those tickets.
He's just like, no, we don't. We're happy with these. Our kids have a better understanding of life. You work and you get what you kind of achieved.
You should have done like the end of one of the Ocean's films and just shoved all of your tickets into one of the arcade machine holes there, and the next person can find it.
Unsuspecting kid. But what if there was
they can throw it away.
Some adult following us the whole time and trying to claim the tickets for themselves.
I've just thought
of a better use of those tickets. If you can't give them to a kid, or you try and they don't want them, take them home for like stabilizing a wonky table.
That is probably more valuable than the Christmas cracker toy you're going to get. did you venture into the real deal casino at any stage? Didn't you get tempted at like the 20-cent slot machines and just thought?
Not this time. I've done it before and I don't understand what I'm doing. There's just lights and noises and lines draw across the screen and then you have no money.
I really want to dress up in a suit and go to the casino and play some poker. I feel like that would be a fun thing to do. Now, I'm not very good at poker. I don't have a very good
poker
face.
If you have sunglasses on, that would help.
I don't know if you allow wearing sunglasses. I know when I went to the casino.
That's what the professionals do.
No, but I went to the casino section recently of a restaurant that I went to eat at.
Interesting.
Yeah, calling it a restaurant, in hindsight, maybe is not, you know, most restaurants don't have a casino section.
I didn't like you having sunglasses on.
Yeah. No, I wasn't wearing sunglasses at the time. I was wearing a beanie and they asked me to remove the beanie.
Oh, yeah. Take that hat off. They've seen the Ocean's films. Did you walk in with a big stack of helium balloons too to cover up the cameras?
I mean, surely the only way to really make sure is to have people playing in their undies. So you just got everyone playing nothing. Poker. Just
if
in
you
there,
walked into a casino onto the floor in a suit with a briefcase like hand to your hand, people would think you've got so much bucks.
Yeah.
And all you have is enough bucks for like plastic handcuffs and the briefcase. It's like, I spent all my budget on this sweet outfit.
Because I think it would be quite sweet to sit at the poker table amongst people that know what they're doing.
Yeah.
And you just there and you have a bit of a laugh.
Yeah, like, well, there's always a chance that you donk them, as the poker players say. You know, it's kind of a game of luck, and there's definitely luck involved lucky to get a good hand.
If you just like walk in there and start going, big blind, raise your seven,
raise your seven.
Good. They might go, I want something.
You need to go in there with like a big Stetson, like a big cowboy hat in a suit and eat crayfish.
Look, if he couldn't take a beanie in, there's no way he'll get a Stetson.
That's true.
Or crayfish.
I wasn't tempted onto the floor this time.
What about the
But
black?
I did go to this one slot machine where when you press, you put your, like, you know, you get those cards, you put your card in and then you press the right sequence of buttons and you're guaranteed money. It's an ATM.
Very good.
Thanks.
I feel like I should continue my sentence. from earlier, because I'm now on record of just going, what about the black? And that's not really what I was getting at. So what about the black gammon, or what's it called?
No, it's not the black gammon.
That's
black
a combination like when of you, two games.
You, yeah, and like when you've overcooked the Christmas what's ham.
What's the one with the...
Blackjack.
No, with the number. And you
oh,
go,
roulette.
Ooh, yeah, what about that one?
Yeah, that's fun.
I wouldn't mind doing that one as well. After the poker table, just make my way down to the roulette, be like, I'll have red, please, and then see where I get.
This could be the world's biggest hustler, Simon walking in there in his What Would Scooby Do t-shirt. I'll put it all on red. Yeah.
Who's gonna save you? Who's gonna save you? The Brother Streep Save the World.
Welcome to the Brother Streep Save the World, around all about helpful advice and practical solutions. Or are they? I'll be the judge. The first section is Agony Aunt, where Andrew and Dylan will need to offer suggestions to some real people's problems. So I've gone on the
real
interwebs.
Real people problems.
Real people problems.
Okay.
All right. So let's start with you, Andrew.
Mm.
My friends can't stop moaning.
Yeah.
How do I say enough? How do I say enough is enough? How do I get these friends to stop moaning? Help me in my life, Andrew.
Yeah, no, sure. Well, thank you for your question. and I'd be honored to answer it. Basically, I've looked after a daughter of mine.
Yes,
About 11 months.
Okay.
And she does a fair amount of moaning, particularly when she wants to go to sleep. And one way that you can stop a baby
moaning...
Can I stop
you there? Are you one of those parents that think they're friends with the kid?
Oh, big time. yes, no, we're good buddies. So, one thing that stops her moaning is, pick her up and rock her. So, what I would suggest is you grab your friend by the neck and you gently rock them...
By the neck?
Well, you
what, like
you,
a cat?
You hold them with one arm under the neck and one arm under their waist.
Okay.
And you just gently rock them from side to side until they stop moaning. Because they will stop moaning if you do that.
I think they might stop moaning more if you do that.
I don't think so. I think
let's
they'll
try
go,
it now. Simon, go climb into Andrew's lap.
What's happening here? Why am I... What's this rocking motion? It's very calming. This rocking motion. Oh, there's a little song
when's
in my
seasick?
Ear. Oh, there's a little song. Oh, I'm being put into a cot. And then
you will have
stopped the moaning.
I mean,
it's pretty good.
It's a good suggestion. I think there are a lot of flaws with that suggestion.
Works not every time.
Dull.
My suggestion is slightly more sinister,
ooh,
but also asks a very important philosophical question. If a moan happens in a closet and there's no one there to hear it, does the moan happen at all?
Sure.
Because people need to moan, you know. Sometimes they're moaning about things that aren't, that are important.
Yeah.
And who am I to judge? So I say just lock them in the moaning closet. Leave them alone for a while. They'll tire themselves out.
This moaning closet.
The iron moaning. No, okay.
I'll laugh at it. I don't get it, but I'll laugh.
You know, the Iron Maiden, it was in Matilda.
I know Iron Maiden.
In Matilda, the Iron Maiden, which was that thing that closed.
No, that was called the chokey.
Yeah, but it's based on a medieval thing.
Take her to the chokey.
All right.
Anyway, this is like a chokey minus, then they'd have a lot to moan about. Minus all the nails.
Okay, Dill, is this moaning closet, is it transportable? Because if you were to, for example, go, all right, Simon's moaning too much during this podcast episode.
Yeah.
Let's quickly lock him in the closet.
Yeah.
Like, we don't really have much cupboard space.
Well, you've got a nice stack of Blu-rays that I could take off your hands to clear those out, move a couple shelves, and there's, ample space.
Okay, all right. So you're going to create this closet
at
every venue.
You're going to create a space. Basically, it's a small space that I can put you in that you'll be in there long enough for me to just get away. I think.
Would you be able, you might build up quite a sweat, depending on how hard you're moaning, you might build up quite a sweat. Would you be able to kind of, wash? No, I was going to say wash yourself afterwards. Because if so, you could call it the Moan Groan Clone Machine.
He's back. All right. I'm going to leave it there. Groan
Clone Machine.
Yeah, I'm going to give Andrew points for that.
For your wow. No, that is fair.
It's okay. A good joke, and I like your idea of swaddling someone until they stop moaning.
Oh, thanks. I liked how Simon climbed up on your lap to actually do it.
That's why I gave him the points. All right. The next problem that I'm going to need, Dill, you're going to start solving this.
Mm.
My in-laws won't stop giving our daughter chocolate.
Mm-hmm.
How do I go about broaching that situation, getting them to stop giving my daughter chocolate?
Okay. I'm going to go ahead and assume that this is the comedy cliche of, I hate my in-laws. I don't get along with my in-laws. You know, like, oh, mother-in-law, she's the worst.
Yeah.
Like, there's a curry paste that's named mother-in-law masala because it's like, you know, really burny and you're meant to not like it. There's an example. So I think you got to play the long game on this one.
Okay.
You got to sit by.
Yeah.
Let them feed the chocolate.
Watch your daughter get diabetes.
Grow into diabetes. Yeah. Or worse. And eventually she's going to resent the in-laws and you'll have won.
Wow. Ah, that's okay. That is kind of clever.
Yeah.
Wow. I've got a suggestion.
It's a long game.
Okay, what is your suggestion?
My suggestion is kind of the aggressive to that passive.
Okay.
Yeah. Right. Which is the next time they see them, you will have put your daughter in a fat suit. and you say, well, you know, she's had a very bad reaction to the chocolate. And they'll get freaked out and never give a chocolate again.
I don't know, man. I've seen people in fat suits in movies. Yeah. Gwyneth Paltrow, that other guy.
Eddie Murphy in every single film.
Yeah. It's not believable. They're going to take one look at that and go, you're Martin Lawrence-ing this kid.
But in-laws, you know, they're older than you, so they might have bad eyesight. Yeah. So you could kind of get away with it.
Yeah.
But the nice thing about Dylan's suggestion, though, is that generally speaking, the in-laws love the grandkids. That's why they're giving them chocolate in the first place.
Mm.
And I think if they felt guilty for giving their grandchild diabetes, they might actually learn their lesson.
Yeah,
so mine's got life lessons, Andrew.
Yeah, but by then the daughter would have diabetes.
But you know,
it's worth it.
It's worth it
for the point.
I mean, okay, well, if you have two kids, you can try the one.
Yeah. Also, in my situation, I'm not down any bucks. You've had to go buy a fat suit.
Listen, a pillow and a bit of masking tape can work wonders.
You think that's going to be believable?
All right, I'm going to give Dylan points, even though it's very dark. All right, the second section of this round is life hacks. I need some simple around-the-house solutions to everyday problems. Dylan's been speaking about how to potentially get up quicker in an elevator. That's his life hack. Is it true? Is it not? I don't know. But what I want to know first is, how do you clear hazy car headlights? So you know, you got the problem with your car headlights where you look at them and it's like, oh, this is looking a bit messier than I would want them to be. Yeah. I want to kind of clean the glass on the headlights. What's the best way to do that?
I'll tell you how.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes when you've gone camping.
Yes.
And there hasn't been a tap nearby, so you haven't done much teeth brushing.
Yeah.
And it gets to like day 3.
Yeah.
And you slide your tongue across your teeth and it goes, that tastes a bit furry. That's plaque buildup.
Okay.
I reckon the hazy headlights is the kind of plaque buildup of your car. So just a big thing of toothpaste.
Okay.
A big kind of toothbrush. And just go in there. I mean, it's there aren't anything else that you could use a toothbrush on your car. Like, it's the best kind of representation of teeth, I would say.
So, I just want to rewind a little bit. So, you think your car headlights are getting plaque. You think your car headlights are just eating things.
Well, it's like bugs and stuff, isn't it? But I don't know what the haze is, but I reckon toothpaste and a toothbrush and put a bit of elbow grease in there too. And you should be sorted.
Did you guys also have people come to your school in junior school and sort of talk to you about Jerry the Germ and the importance of...
I think so.
...of brushing your teeth?
No.
You didn't?
No.
And how did you ever then learn to brush your teeth if you weren't afraid of Jerry the German?
Peer pressure.
Wait, hold on. Jerry the German?
I've always assumed, you know... Plaque is a Nazi business.
Yes.
All right, Andrew, what would you do about a hazy headlights?
I'm going to be honest. I didn't think that this was a problem.
Okay.
Like, I've never heard of hazy headlights.
Until looking at your headlights.
No, I mean, I don't... I'm clearly it is a problem. And now I'm worried about it. And my solution is... Well, unlike Dylan, where he actually wants to rectify the solution by trying to clean them,
yeah.
I am treating the headlights as basically, you know, as the windows to the car's soul. I guess those would be the windows. But I mean, the eyes of the car. The headlights are definitely the eyes of the car.
No, they're the teeth.
We all know that.
Come on, it works as an analogy.
No, they're the eyes for my analogy. And, you know, when our eyes deteriorate...
Yeah.
What do? Well, we put on glasses. So I'm suggesting car contacts.
Okay, wait, Andrew,
this is going to make the problem worse.
Yeah,
these are lenses that will focus the beam, which has been deteriorated by the haziness.
They will magnify the haze.
Yeah, well, it'll spread it further.
I don't think you know about science. That's what I'm picking up here.
I want to know, as the person who asked this question, do you know how the headlights get hazy?
No, I'm guessing it's not plaque, though.
I think it is plaque. And like all my theories, until proven otherwise, it 100% is.
I'm surprised none of you suggested just taking the glass section of the headlight off. I mean, is it doing anything? Do we know if it's doing anything?
Well, according to Andrew, it focuses the beam and spreads the plaque further.
All right. Well, I'm going to have to give the point to Dylan for two reasons.
I mean...
One, your idea was... It's ludicrous, Andrew. You really are just you're putting another layer in front of already a hazy layer. It's not going to work.
Tell that to people who have cataract surgery. You tell that to them. See what they say.
Right. I just want to say that now that I've got the point, can I add something to Andrew's thing? Because you're saying that they're like the eyes and you could put kind of glasses on them. Yeah. Some people have those big eyelashes on top of their headlights, and that would look quite funny if you put glasses and a big red nose.
I'm also Dylan gets a point because his answer was correct.
What do you mean?
He's not getting 2 points. That would be ludicrous. Oh, okay. But he did actually pick the correct answer. The life hack for cleaning hazy headlights is toothpaste.
Oh my word! No. It must have been on the same BuzzFeed blog.
Incredible.
Stoked.
All right. The next life hack I want to know is, how do you keep your phone, money, and keys safe on the beach?
Well, I really struggled with this one. Because I had a few ideas, and all of them were bad, and some of them were stolen from other people.
You do know this is Save the World. We're meant to be making the world a better place by helping people, not giving them more problems.
I mean, my first idea was drone based, so to kind of put all of my belongings in a drawstring bag and send them up with a drone. The problem is that. You need the controller. That's the only thing that can't be in the bag.
Also, seagulls.
And seagulls. Yeah, I didn't even think that's why it was such a bad idea.
So, do you think they call it a drone because the moment you buy one, you can't stop droning on about it?
I think so. So, my idea is very simple. It's a beach ball.
Okay.
Because beach balls are
I'm
going to
be honest, that's not your idea.
Ten a penny.
So beach balls exist.
Yeah.
My idea is this, guys: beach balls.
Yeah. But it's a beach ball with a zip, and you can put all of your belongings in the beach ball.
Yeah,
and then zip it up.
But do you not think the zip is going to suddenly make what was an inconspicuous beach ball look quite conspicuous? What's that zip doing on the beach ball?
Yeah, but you put it underneath. You put it at the bottom.
Also,
when you
do unzip a beach ball, let's just all picture a beach ball.
Yeah.
It's going to cease to be a beach ball.
Yes.
So
who wants to go playing with a deflated beach ball?
So you've just got a plastic sack.
Yeah.
It's a plastic bag with your stuff in it.
No, it's not.
Nothing has changed.
No, it's not. It is a beach ball that's deflated. And people are going to be like, oh, what a useless beach ball.
I should go throw that away. It's littering. Oh, there's some jingling going on in here.
All right. So
that would fool me.
I think what you need to do is dig a really, really deep hole.
All right. I'm liking this.
The deepest hole you can think of. Tie your stuff to a string.
Yeah.
Drop it down. And then, I don't know, maybe put like a little sandcastle or something where the tip of the string comes out.
Yeah.
And have, in fact, if you could get some kids,
yeah,
to put them around the sandcastle so that people are like,
because no one can get past
think,
kids.
Well, they less likely think it's a security sandcastle if yeah. they're just little kids playing with buckets.
It's true, and you're not going to kind of bash down a kid's sandcastle while they're there anyway.
Well, I might, but most people might not. Yeah.
I mean, this is it's a deep hole, right?
It's so, a deep.
it would take a while to dig.
I thought you were going to say, that's not your idea.
No.
They already are deep holes.
Well, that is true.
It's going to take a little while to dig. But
yeah. But, you know,
but
sort
think
of
the safety, though.
Yeah, the safety. But, I mean, by the time you have dug the hole,
yeah.
put your things in the hole,
yeah.
filled up the hole,
yeah.
found kids to build a sandcastle on the hole,
yeah.
let them build a sandcastle. You want to go home.
The sun's gone down.
Yeah.
Okay. How I mean, about this, then?
Your stuff will be safe.
I just guess. Think it's quite cool. You just don't want to dig too far and have your stuff end up in China. That would be no good.
Also, if you, the problem with digging at the beach is if you dig, you don't have to dig very far to get it water. So, you know, you might as well just lob all your belongings into the ocean and hope that no one finds it. Put a sinker on it, anchor
it's not
it down.
A bad idea. I don't know if anybody's noticed, but I've started surfing in the last couple of
hey.
Months. Yeah. Surf report. And when you go surfing and you have a key, there's usually a tiny, tiny little flap of neoprene like on your leg that you attach the key to
yeah.
so that you don't have to leave it on the beach. So what if you had like a massive flap on your back to put like all your things in and went surfing like a ninja turtle?
You mean like what, like surgically attached?
No, on a wetsuit.
Like a back flap. Oh, I see.
You know, just not a tiny inconspicuous one though, because it needs like your wallet, your keys, your cell phone.
That would be awesome.
Your iPad, your...
that's a great idea.
Suntan lotion.
You should market that.
So everyone just looks like hunchbacks surfing around.
All right. So I'm going to award points to Andrew.
Get in.
Andrew, your idea of taking an item that would be brought to the beach anyways
yeah.
and putting things inside it is very close to the actual answer
oh.
that I have here.
Ooh.
And that is, you can take an empty suntan lotion bottle.
Ah.
And you can put all your belongings in there quite nicely, and then it just looks like you've left a little bit of suntan lotion.
How wait, big? How big
how
is
small
this?
Small are your belongings?
Yeah.
Do you have a Nokia 3310?
This is look. You just need to buy a bigger suntan
okay.
lotion.
Yeah. It's those barrels of suntan lotion.
Yeah, yeah. That's already suspicious.
Well, the problem is like, you know, suntan lotion's flipping expensive. So someone might just be like, oh, this is golden. I'm going to steal this.
I've just come up with a better way to use my own idea.
Okay, I can't give you. I can't give you points.
That's fine.
Though.
I accept that. But we're probably not going to revisit this option. So I'll just say it now. Forget the hole, forget the kids.
Yeah.
Well, we might keep the kids. But just kind of build a sandcastle in one of those buckets with your stuff down the middle. Flip the bucket.
Whoa.
Tap, tap, tap. Open it up. It's just a sandcastle.
That's
but
genius.
All your stuff's inside.
Can I?
In a Ziploc bag.
Okay, but do you know what's the easier thing to do?
Yeah.
Is you just put your stuff in the bucket.
Yeah.
Just without any sand. Flip the bucket over with the stuff in the bucket, pour sand over the bucket, keep the bucket there, and yeah. then you've got a little small sand castle, and your stuff doesn't get sandy whatsoever.
Yeah, it does. You flip the bucket over.
But you're not flipping sand onto it.
Ziploc bag.
All right, we're going to end this lovely round off with some really quick multiple choice questions. This round is all about home remedies, stuff that's going to make your life easier for you if something like this happens to you. So to curb a cough, should you A, eat dark chocolate, B, swig some pork fat, C, sniff chicken soup, or D, melt butter on your tongue?
Can I ask up front, are these options you've come up with, or do these options exist somewhere out there?
These options exist. Once you have chosen and I have told you what's right or what's wrong, I'll explain why the thing apparently works.
Can I ask, did the person who put these together, did they live in medieval times?
Potentially. This is meant to be stuff you have around the home.
Pig fat.
Oh, you might have some pork fat and some melted butter.
I'm going to say the melted butter because I don't like dark chocolate. It's annoying.
Yeah.
Just have milk chocolate. It tastes better. and I don't have pig fat. but I do often have a cough.
Okay.
And so if it was mild, but I'm kind of willing it to be the one that's most convenient for me.
All right. You don't think sniffing chicken soup is going to do something?
That's good for the soul, not for the nose.
All right, Kurt, what are you going to go for?
I think it's probably something hoity-toity like the pig fat.
Okay,
it's all la-dee-da.
Very good. All right, you're both wrong, though.
No.
It is eat dark chocolate. Yeah, indulge in a square or two of dark chocolate. Researchers found that chocolate's theobromine compound is more effective than codeine at suppressing persistent coughs without the side effects of drowsiness and constipation.
You see, this is how kids get diabetes.
Yeah, you get the side effect of awful taste.
All right, last home remedy. To stifle hiccups, you should A, eat some soda, bicarbonate soda, that is.
Right.
B, eat some salt. C, eat some sugar. Or D, eat some self-raising flour.
This is weird because I don't eat anything, but I do drink a glass of water upside down and that works perfectly. Why is that not on the list? I don't think bicarb is going to be good unless I'm going to be proved wrong, but I bought some recently and I think I read the box and it said, don't eat this.
Don't use hiccups.
Yeah. Self-raising flour sounds fun. Although if you do have... Wait, hiccups kind of go in, right? No, if it was for like a remedy for sneezing and then you still had the sneezes and you did little flour bombs every sneeze, that wouldn't be good. But it's the opposite, so I'm going with the flour.
I think it's sugar for no reason at all.
All right. Andrew, you get a point.
Yay.
Swallow 1 to 2 teaspoons of sugar. The dry granules stimulate and reset the irritated nerve that is causing the spasms of the diaphragm. Any coarse substance, such as salt, can work in a pinch, but sugar tastes best.
Take that with a pinch of salt.
All right. So
what
after
about if
that,
you're banting?
Well, then you deserve to have the hiccups. At the end of that round, Andrew has won with just slightly more points than Dylan. Well done, Andrew.
Well done.
Fun can be found in streeping around.
I have a theory about elevators.
Ding.
There we go. And I want to know if you guys think that this theory is sound, because long-time listener and friend Nick Key doesn't believe in the theory.
Okay.
But that's a whole different controversy. I'll bring that up too. So I reckon that if you're in an elevator and you're going up or down, as you do in an elevator, if you hold the doors closed button, you know there's that button that you can sometimes press in case it looks like somebody's coming, you're like, close please. If you hold that in, usually there's like a blue light around it or something similar.
Yeah.
While the elevator is going to your destination, then that kind of trumps anybody else trying to get the elevator to come to that floor.
Is that your theory?
That's the theory.
And do you believe it?
Well, I believe it, and it's worked every time for me.
No.
And I do it a lot. I travel in elevators.
No, that can't... But how do you know it's working?
I'm on, just in case that was confusing, I'm on floor, let's say, 3, and I'm going to floor, let's say, 8.
All right, gotcha.
I get in, I press closed doors, but I hold in closed doors, and obviously I press the 8. Now I go up. Now somebody who's standing in the building at floor 5, for example, who's pressed, they want to go up or down. It's not going to come to them.
But how do you know that they've done that?
Because, well, I don't know that they've done it.
He's assuming
I don't
on
know
law of
they've done it.
So
but this is why the theory is interesting. Because until proven wrong, it's 100% right. And it works every time.
The thing is I don't think that you're... I'm on Nick's side here.
Well, you don't know what Nick's side is yet.
Well, I'm assuming it's the opposite of your side.
It's not. Nick's side is so on the fence.
Okay, well, my side is that I feel like you're just getting lucky. You maybe work in a place where people aren't going to those other floors. And so you think it works, but in actual fact, because that makes no sense. Everyone would just do that.
Because as I brought it up, none of your faces were like, yeah, I've heard of that. It just sounds like something people haven't heard of.
To me, it sounds like a system they put in place for maintenance or for kind of emergency procedures.
Life hack.
That maybe maybe firemen need to get to the 8th floor quickly. They can just
I saw it on one of those BuzzFeed 42 life hacks that'll make your life easier and fun.
Okay. Well, we really have to just test it.
Well, I've tested it. I mean, I've got testimony.
I mean, no, you haven't tested it because you just literally said that you don't know if people have been pressing it. So
But it hasn't failed yet.
No.
How many times would you say you've tested it? Like more than 20?
Yeah.
Really?
Yes.
That's and in busy office buildings.
Massive buildings with more than 10 floors sometimes.
All right,
that's pretty good as far as putting a hypothesis forward goes.
I have access to two elevators. I'm not showing off. I just they are on my normal journeys, and I think we need to test this out before our podcast next week, because I think we can definitely, you know, someone gets in on floor one, someone's pressing floor two, and the person tries to hit to floor three. No, we'll know straight away.
You see, you just don't have any like childlike wonder or faith in the theory. If you're just waiting to like pull it apart and actively go out and stab the theory in its heart and watch it die.
Well, it's worth knowing, because otherwise you're just sitting there wasting valuable pressing power.
It's not a waste, because I get up to the floor I want every time, no interruptions.
And I agree with Dylan, there is some magic in having a theory and not bursting its bubble.
Yeah.
Okay, so you don't want me to go out and try.
I mean, I know you will now.
I'll probably forget.
No.
That's irrelevant whether I want you to or not.
No. He wants you to try it. He doesn't want you to put a team together on different floors actually test it.
I'd like you to do it, and then if it happens by kind of normal forces of nature that you're holding the button in and somebody somehow stops the elevator, which can't happen electronically, it just can't happen.
So if you hold the open doors button, do the doors stay open all the way up and down? Because that would be quite exciting.
No,
very dangerous.
No, because a lift will not move with the doors open. Andrew, that's lift 101.
All right, I don't use lifts very often.
What is Nick's theory if it's not?
Nick's theory is like, oh, I'll buy it 100% until it fails. So I'm like, well, that's not buying into a theory. That's just going like, oh, it's what's the safest option? It's like, then it wasn't true all along.
I mean, this is fascinating. If that's true, though,
yeah,
and that, you know, once if you travel with like people that just always do that, and you're on a floor that like just always gets skipped. I mean, that's the problem. Surely at some stage, this is like, if this gets out, it's a problem.
Have you ever had the gall to do that with somebody else in the lift?
For true or false? There's so much gold here.
But you don't even know if it's true or false.
I know it's 100% true. It's proven itself to be 100% true.
Have you ever had the gall to do that with somebody else in the lift? And you're like,
today,
no.
I did that with somebody else in the lift. Simon, you were there. Did we stop along the way?
No, but we also
going to different destinations.
What's that?
Going to different destinations. You're like, I'm going to floor 8. Let's go.
Yeah.
That seems like kidnapping.
There was that.
Could you even
to put some like experience in there?
Do you even use the elevator, Kerr, or do you just lift up and grab onto the floor above you?
You mean the floor at my waist height?
I don't get that joke.
I'm taller than you.
I knew it would come down to that. I'm taller than you.
It's getting cold.
Starting to rain.
Starting to rain, but more, it's starting to get cold.
Yeah.
And for the first time in many years, I went out and bought some long johns.
Oh, very nice.
And I want to ask, is it embarrassing?
You're in interesting company for that question, because we do the Grahamstown Festival every year for the last 6 years. That's right, we're a band. And, and we wear long johns, I think, unabashedly, if I recall watching Simon change. Correct. I don't have official long johns. I've got these like kind of crap pajama like...
Are there official long johns?
Pants.
Yeah, like made by
ones that you'd buy that
John?
Say long johns on them. Well, what are they called? Are they not called long johns on the box?
It's not a... Is it a box? That's more like a... I bought them at Woolies.
Yeah.
They're just called long johns.
Well, you didn't just grab them off the floor and like... pay for them, you know. They have to be in some kind of packaging with words on them.
Yeah, but you made it sound like it was like John's brand of his long johns.
No, I didn't. I just think there are actual long johns, and they are just pants under pants.
Okay, well, basically, you're both comfortable wearing long johns. I have worn them to work.
But when you ask if it's embarrassing, nobody sees your long johns. Who's an embarrassing
fool?
Are
you wearing
your
long johns?
You do sometimes...
Are you like Supermaning with these things, where your long johns on the outside?
No, but they might become visible, I don't know, if you have to bend over at some stage to pick something up. They might poke out of the jeans.
You must have really long johns.
I have very long johns.
Long johns.
I don't know. Just, you know, it could be like potentially, but they could poke out of the bottom. Just, you know, out of the bottom of your...
No, but that's why you tuck them into the sock.
that's what I did, because I just thought of that before I'd put my shoes on in the morning.
You got to tuck them into the sock.
Are you finding... So I do quite like myself a good old-fashioned long john, but the problem with them is that sometimes your legs don't need to be as warm as the long john provides. Have you found that you've sort of gotten halfway through the day and gone, oh, I really wish I wasn't wearing long johns. I wouldn't mind a bit of a draft around here.
Long john zip-offs. Yeah. That'd be good.
Short johns. No, I haven't found that, but I think that's because by the time the blood gets all the way to the bottom of my feet and back, it's lost a lot of heat. And so I need that extra help with my circulation.
Are you? How do you feel about the vest? Are you as insecure about the vest?
Well, look, I mean, I haven't used a vest, and I don't have any vests, but now that I've dipped my toe into the long john world, I would consider it. I tend to layer up quite significantly.
You're like getting close to getting a hot water bottle and an electric blanket.
I have had a hot water bottle at work previously.
If you're looking for vests at Woolies, they're just kind of lying around. They don't package them in anything. They don't say vests.
Okay.
Just look out for them.
Okay, well, I feel better now that I won't be so ashamed with my long johns.
You should ask a few more people, I think.
Yeah.
Really?
Because we go to a very cold place once a year where it's advised to wear lots of clothing so that you don't die.
Do you wear them outside of Grahamstown?
No.
Really? You don't wear them to work?
Literally, when we leave, we throw them away.
Yeah.
Never to return
to
them.
It's kind of a ceremonial burning of the long johns at the end of the festival.
Right. Do your long johns have the potentially helpful but not as helpful sort of zipper area?
Like the Y front.
Yeah.
Yeah. See, I feel like who's using that?
People who need to urinate?
I feel like with the long john, that is just because long john is so tight. Surely you're just dipping your long john lower as opposed to... As opposed to going...
Wait.
Hold on.
Do they have the two button flap on the back for number two? That'd be fun.
When I say dipping the long john lower, I do mean the trouser. I don't mean, you know, your long john. It's worthwhile.
Yeah, no, we got that.
Being
clarifying.
Specific. Yeah.
I don't know. Was that a question?
Was anyone in this room who's wearing long johns ever made use of the handy flap? Or
mine don't come with the handy flap because, once again, they're just like thinner pants that I can fit under other pants. So I don't know. I don't have that luxury. I've got the full elastic.
Okay. I'm not using that. Yeah, I'm. You know, but I tend to sit down a lot, so it's easier just to drop. It's easier just to drop trowel.
Hold on,
completely.
Hold on, we stumbled onto something here. Are you also a sitting for number one's guy?
Occasionally, definitely, definitely in the middle of the night.
What? Why does
that's
the
for
time
sure.
of day change it?
Oh, because I mean, when you're like half asleep, you don't want to aim.
You know what? I've never got up to wee.
Oh,
what's coming? Your bed must be messy by the morning.
No, it's just not a thing that happens.
It's not something that I used to do.
But, yeah, it happens with age. Now,
we're relatively about? The same. Andrew's younger than me.
Well, I've found it's happened with children because you're getting up anyway and you're just like, well...
Oh, yeah, if I was
like,
awake, I'd probably
I'm like
be
at
like,
60%. Let's drain the tank.
I think if I was awake, my bladder would be going, well... You could do this now.
Exactly.
But my sleep is more important to me than my bladder, obviously.
No, I used to be fine, but now my 33 or 4, whatever I am, it's like 5 o'clock, I'm up, need a wee. It's quite annoying.
You couldn't figure out your age last week either. Why don't you know how old you are?
It's because he's so old.
It stopped becoming an interesting number after like 30. Like 30 is like fine. It's like I'm 30. Yeah, that's a milestone.
Yeah.
But like 31 and 32, 33, it's not worth remembering until you get to like 50.
Well, 40, surely.
Well, I guess maybe 40 is
nice
pretty
big
decent. 40th. With the problem with like waking up needing to wee, especially in winter, is that I find that a lot of time, at least a half an hour, is spent debating whether I am going to get up or just try to push through.
If you're wearing long johns, you're like, cool, I'll get up. I'm not going to be cold.
Yeah.
Wait, what's that thing?
The
That's right. It's quiz time, and this week's quiz is the Will Smith quiz.
Yes.
And we're going to start with round Will and Smith. The first question is, Smith started as the MC of the hip-hop duo The Fresh Prince and who?
Beep.
Simon, I think you got in there first.
What did you say?
I said Beep.
I said Beep.
And Jazzy Jeff, wasn't it?
Oh, I'm going to... You need to be technical. Dylan.
Jazzy J.
No. Okay, I'm going to give it to Simon. It was DJ Jazzy Jeff. But that's close enough.
Yeah, I think you should give it to me. Okay. Thank you very much.
The second question is, Smith was the first hip-hop artist to be nominated for which award?
Dylan. Grammy.
Is incorrect.
Beep.
Simon. Is incorrect. Dylan.
Tony.
Is incorrect.
Beep.
Dylan.
Oscar.
Is the right answer. Okay. Yes. So, Smith incorporates what line of dialogue into all his movies as a running catchphrase?
Beep.
Simon.
Hey, it's me, Will Smith.
I make this look good.
No.
NYPD means I'll knock your punk ass down.
No.
Wiki Wiki Wild Wild West.
No. I'm going to give you a clue. You just have to guess the last word of this. It's, oh, hell. Beep. Dylan, you beeped first, I think.
Yeah.
No.
Yes.
No, it's incorrect. No. Dylan is the right answer. I don't know. Okay.
Is that a running joke?
I feel like it was kind of prompting you there by saying no the whole time.
It was really prompting you there. Okay, the last question is, how many movies has he played father and son roles with his son, Jaden?
Beep.
Dylan.
Three.
Is incorrect.
Four. Seven
is incorrect.
Two.
Is the right answer, Dylan. And we move swiftly on to round two.
Do move swiftly
which
on.
Is first, best, most. So here we go. These are the movies that... the first movies that he's been involved in. You need to guess his first movie. You know how it works. Okay, here they are. All right. Made in America, 6 Degrees of Separation, and Where the Day Takes You. Dylan.
Made in America.
All right.
Beep. Where the whatever you said takes you.
Where the?
I don't know what you said. That one.
Well, just say C.
Well, Simon, you're correct. You get 2 points. Okay. It was in 1991.
My early buzz didn't pay off.
No. Now, the best movie that he's been involved in, which is...
I know it already.
IMDb. Okay.
It's Men in Black 1.
All right. Okay, he's Men in Black 1. Do you want to buzz in? You're going to wait.
Is this the best as in the rating on IMDb?
Yeah.
Beep.
The options
are... Did you hear Simon's buzzer there?
No, I didn't.
I'm going to wait in here because I'm pretty sure he's been in something that's more acclaimed than
These are the options.
But they're wrong. Men in Black is the best.
The options are... The Boys, The Sherman Brothers Story, A Closer Walk, and The Pursuit of Happiness.
Bleak.
I feel like The Pursuit of Happiness is probably the one that's gotten the most rating out of all those.
Okay, well, you're incorrect. You're both wrong. It was A Closer Walk of 8.7.
What? That's M.I. Bleak.
Pursuit of Happiness is 8.0. And the most that the movie has grossed, U.S. domestic. Okay, so... the options are Independence Day. Oh, Simon.
Oh,
well, you got a freebie there.
you've got a good chance of getting it if you guess the one that's definitely in the list.
Independence Day, please.
Okay.
I'd like to hear the rest of the options.
Okay, so
please.
Independence Day, Suicide Squad, and I Am Legend.
This is gross, the most.
Yeah.
Suicide Squad?
Is the right answer. So Dylan gets
hectic.
What are we, some kind of Suicide Squad?
We're going to move on to round three, which is finish the
Suicide
quote.
Squad.
The first quote is, I want the world to be better because I was Dylan.
In it.
I'm going to give you that.
Thanks.
Yeah, that's close enough.
That's close enough, but Jazzy Jeff's not close enough.
Yeah, fair enough. You got the point, so just calm down. The next quote is, life is lived on...
Beep. Mars.
Dylan. Is incorrect. Simon.
On joy.
No.
Earth.
Is incorrect.
Beep. Laughter.
Dylan. Is incorrect.
Jupiter.
Okay. It is. it's kind of. This
Neptune.
Is, no, this is a. My word. Stop it. The phrase could be said also of a knife.
At the edge.
Is the right answer, Dylan. Well done. And the last quote is, I was raised...
a member of you too.
I was raised in a Baptist household, went to a Catholic church, lived in a Jewish neighborhood, and had the biggest crush on the...
Beep.
Dylan. Simon. Yeah, Simon?
Beep. I said the Pope, but if you want me to do another one. Biggest crush on... The Muslim girl next door?
It's exactly right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
So round four is distant relative, and we're going to be talking about Men in Black.
Oh, sweet.
So the first question is, which Friends actor was asked to play the role of Jay before Will Smith, but turned it down?
David Schwimmer
is the right answer. Yeah.
Oh.
Nice movies.
The second question is, after Men in Black was released, what item of the uniform tripled in sales? Dylan.
Ray-Ban sunglasses.
Is spot on.
Wow, I don't know this film as well as Dylan.
Okay, Tommy Lee Jones only accepted the role of Kay after Steven Spielberg promised to do what?
Beep.
Simon.
Put him in the movie.
That's incorrect. Yeah.
Give him the first credit.
No, that's wrong. I'm going to give you a clue. It is something that you would do in pre-production.
Beep.
Simon.
Pre-production. Oh, not audition.
No.
Write. Help write.
Well, I'm going to give you that. It's improve the script.
Yeah. Give me that too.
Yeah, it's like, you know, not auditioning.
Last question is, Men in Black is the highest grossing action buddy film of all time, with a gross of how much?
In million dollars.
Sweet. Simon.
In million dollars, yeah. You say. It's obviously 452 million.
Okay.
I'm going to have to say this is the closest answer, right?
Are you going to beep in?
I'm going to beep in.
Yeah.
It's 451 million, I think.
451.
Yeah, less than what Simon said.
Well, the answer was 250, so Dylan gets the point.
Yes.
And Dylan wins the quiz with 11 points to 4.
Men in Black.
Hate to be a
Men in Black.
Jeepers, that was
Galaxy
a roasting.
I hate to be a stickler here.
Yeah.
But Dylan technically said 400 and whatever amount he said.
Yeah.
Less than Simon's points. would put him on about 1 million.
Listen, just look into this red light and just forget the whole podcast. Thank you for listening, everybody.
It's a pleasure.
Well done, Dylan.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Well, thanks for listening, everybody. It's been a fun podcast.
It has been. Join in next week for more of this.
Yeah, more of the same.
Less of that.
Bye.
Bye.